today on Real Radio.
If you live righteously for Jesus, people are going to hate you. Satan's going to hate you. Wouldn't you rather be hated by Satan than despised by God? So you take a stand for what's right. As a Christian, we're mandated to stand for what's biblically right.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Government God's Way, Part 2, continues a new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah records the powerful ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah's calling as a prophet was primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah urged the people to repent from their sins and return to God. He also foretold the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days. In Government God's Way Part 1, we learned in Isaiah chapter 2 of how God's form of government is very different from man's form of government. And when Jesus Christ physically returns in the second coming, he will establish his form of government and his form of vengeance upon the earth. And finally, we will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years under his form of justice. Now in Part 2, we'll look a little deeper into the physical ascension of Jesus when he returned to heaven, and his physical return to earth when he comes back to establish his kingdom. Today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that when a nation becomes wealthy and affluent, it can become self-reliant and self-promoting. Promises of peace and prosperity are made, and people will have control through power and influence. But Isaiah warns of the coming terror from the Lord, and everything that was lifted up will be brought down as the glory of God's majesty is revealed in Christ's second coming. And now continuing his lesson called Government God's Way, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The global warming guy, the guy that gave birth to the whole thing. It wasn't Al Gore. The guy was the creator of he was the founder and creator and the brain behind the Weather Channel. And he just made an announcement recently, and it was on the news yesterday. He said, I've been studying all this stuff. I've been looking at it, and you know, 30 years ago, I thought this was happening. Turns out it's not. And all the data has proved me wrong. At least the guy's honest enough to say it. And he says, there is no global warming. The creator of global warming says, the data's not there. It didn't happen. It's not happening. He said, for the first time since humans have been keeping record, there are too many polar bears now. And the caps, did you know the polar caps are growing? And he goes down this list, and he said, this is where I was wrong. And he goes down this list. I was wrong about this. I was wrong about that. And he said, well, the outcome is there's a lot of people that lost billions, but a lot of people that made billions off those who lost billions. But he said, I was wrong. But that kind of power gave power to people to control other people. Affluence and wealth and control. When you have that, it makes you sick. You can't handle it, and you get messed up. And the Bible says here in Isaiah that Israel is going to get messed up. It's going to forget God. By the way, the book of Daniel speaks into this, and it says that when the Antichrist comes, the son of perdition, in the book of Daniel, he will deceive the world with promises of peace and prosperity. The world wants peace, and the world wants prosperity. And the Bible says that's exactly what's going to happen. Verse 10, watch what happens now. Now we jump. Now keep close tabs on this. Get your pen ready. Verse 10, enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord. So be asking yourself questions. When's this going to be? Who's speaking? What's happening? The terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, their arrogance. And the Lord alone shall be exalted. Here's those words. In that day, when he returns. Verse 12. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, and upon every fortified wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish. Interesting, Europe. Tarshish is a reference to Europe. And upon all the beautiful sloops, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Verse 18, but the idols he shall utterly abolish. So listen, before I read verse 19, idols are things that you and I create. We make them. I want to say none of us have them because we're Christians. I hope I'm right, but what goes through my mind sometimes is, now I don't know, I know we don't carve out idols and bow down to them anymore, but if I feel a little bit more secure in my life, if I feel a little bit more stable because my stocks have done real well in the market, and they feel a little bit like, all right. You know what I'm saying? The opposite of what we felt in 2008. You say, well, I'm not into that. Okay, but if we feel a little bit more secure with ourselves and our existence because we got a really good raise, we're doing really good. Or we finally got that home we had always been wanting. Or that car, where we have this sense, let's celebrate, man. What are you saying? I arrived. Listen, sometimes I wonder if we as Christians are skating on that line of idols. Because an idol is something that makes you different than what you are because you trust in the idol. If you had a bunch of gold all around you in a wheelbarrow and a bucket, it'd affect your attitude. Have you noticed that, you know, these things happen? Why does that happen? Because we are prone to see something that benefits our status. I have this, thus I am. Are you with me? No, but none of you are with me on this. I'm all alone on this. We have to be careful as believers. We have to be careful about that. 19 says, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks. Look at these people. They're going to go into holes. They're going to find cracks in the earth to hide. And into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. You say, oh, I don't know, that sounds kind of weird to me. That's why I am going to give you Revelation 6, verses 14 to 17. Are we having fun or what? Is this fun? I was joking, but I mean, you okay with this? This is amazing. The Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, God of the Bible, when he comes back in the second coming, he's going to shake the earth. Now, you guys won't be there. You and I will not be there. We'll be with him in heaven when he comes back in the second coming. We will be coming with him, but you will not be the recipients of that terror. You'll never be the recipients of his terror. Jesus took all of that terror for us at the cross. And you need not be afraid of the Lord. When the Bible says to have the fear of the Lord, it is to have the reverential awe of God. For the lack of a better word, I would say extreme gratitude and appreciation, and yet that falls terribly short. Awesomeness of our God. Well, listen, Revelation 6:14 says, then the sky receded as a scroll. John is looking, and he's looking to this day that Isaiah spoke about. Notice this. There's nearly a 3,000-year difference from when it's going to happen to when it was first uttered. But 2,000 years ago, John sees the revelation as recorded in your Bible. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it's rolled up. That's John trying to describe what he saw. I saw the sky rolled up like a lampshade or like a window shade. What does that look like? And every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Can you imagine looking at Catalina and you see the ocean vibrating and you just see it kind of shift and kind of falter halfway into the sea? Oh, man. And the kings of the earth, the great men and rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man hid themselves in the caves. Notice it's global. In the caves and the rocks of the mountains. Did you not just hear this in Isaiah? And said to the mountains and rocks, listen, it's going to be so bad and terrifying. This is what they're going to say. Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. That's what they're going to say. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Isaiah chapter 2, Revelation chapter 6. Same event. Verse 20, in that day a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they've made, each for himself to worship, to the moles and bats. In other words, that's a term, those are unclean things. Jews do not mess around with moles or bats. What he's saying is they're going to look at this idol. Man, you were supposed to bring me good luck, and this wasn't supposed to happen. Oh, you piece of junk. And throw it away. Verse 21. To go into the clefts of the rocks and into the crags of the rugged rocks, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. Verse 22, sever yourselves from such a man whose breath is in his nostrils, for of what account is he? Watch this. This day that's coming at the end of the 7-year tribulation period, the earth will shake, the islands and the mountains will be moved from their place, the heavens will be rolled up like a scroll. Matthew 24 tells us, then the entire globe will see the coming of the Son of Man in glory. And the world will be in great terror. All the inhabitants of the earth will fear. And they will cry out to the rocks and hills, crush us, kill us, anything, then that we wind up in the hands of the terror of the Lord and the wrath of the Lamb. What an amazing, awesome thing. Church, in wrapping this up, listen to this. Amazing, obscure verse. Now, technically, listen to you guys. I'm going to have you go to Isaiah 26. It's a remarkable portion of scripture. And I'll be honest with you. Scholars have battled with this for 2,000 years because they can't seem to find a place for it to be safely or easily dealt with. I'll read it to you. You can, yeah, good, turn. I can hear your pages turning. Go there, watch this, mark it. You're going to want to remember this. Why? Ask yourself this question. What on earth is Isaiah talking about in Isaiah 26? And what's happening? Has anything like this happened in the past? Or is there something that has been prophesied in the Bible that answers to this? Are you ready? Isaiah 26, 19. Your dead shall live. Your dead. The reference is to the Lord's dead. The Lord's dead shall live. Together with my dead body they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust. The earth. Somebody in the dirt, dead, is going to arise and sing? For your dew is like the dew of herbs, What does D-E-W-D-O? What happens to do when the sun arises? It goes back where it came from. It goes up. Isn't that interesting? The earth shall cast out the dead. Verse 20, awesome. Come, my people, enter your chambers. That's a word, wedding chamber. And shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment. Just a little bit. Why? How come? What's going on? Until the indignation is past. Because, behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. Why? For their sins, their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood, that is, bring forth the blood of the martyred. The earth's not going to cover up the blood of the righteous anymore. And will no more cover her slain, that is, the martyrs will be brought forth to see. What an amazing, you see this verse? Why is it interesting? Because it answers almost verbatim to 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, when the dead in Christ will rise first. Isn't it interesting to think and to put that together? Almost done. Luke 21, 36. Watch therefore, it's a strong order, a mandate, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You're not going to be involved in the tribulation period. Now, hear me out. Things are getting rough in the world, church. And if you stand for righteousness here in America, you're going to be attacked. You're going to need a bodyguard detail. If you stand for what's right, just what's right. Just because persecution is breaking out doesn't mean God has forgotten you or abandoned you. And if we die for our faith, it doesn't mean we entered the great tribulation period and we died. Nope. Martyrs die all the time for Jesus. Always be ready to die for your faith. Always be looking up to get caught up to meet the Lord. Because listen, both are promised. It has nothing to do with the tribulation period. If you live righteously for Jesus, people are going to hate you. Satan's going to hate you. Wouldn't you rather be hated by Satan than despised by God? I mean, my goodness. Think of it. So you take a stand for what's right. As a Christian, we're mandated to stand for what's biblically right. And when people attack you, just know this. Jesus said, cheer up. They attacked me before they attacked you, he said. He said, cheer up. They hated me way before they hated you. Remember this. I challenge you. Go figure this out. The most loved individual that's ever graced the face of the earth, the most loved and the most loving, is also the most hated individual on earth. Go reconcile that. Figure that one out. Go figure that one out. Jesus Christ, who you and I are supposed to be like, was the most loved person on earth and the most hated person on earth. You try to reconcile that and you'll find your answer as to how the Christian's supposed to live. Love everyone. Stand for righteousness, and unrighteousness will hate you. There's no getting around it. I want to end with this. Let's all stand though. I want to end. And we'll have some worship together right now. But listen to this. Can you close your eyes without falling over? I mean, just hang on to your chair or whatever. But I want you to just let these words flood over you, wash over you. Think of this. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. And we shall reign on the earth. Then John said, I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, an innumerable host, obviously, saying with a loud voice, and this is what that witness said, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, so much that your Bible is 100% true. That your word says exactly what it means and means exactly what it says. That we are not to speak into it what we want, but it is to speak from it into us. And Father, as a church, we conclude our time together with, I would hope, lofty praise from earthbound hearts. We long for the day where we will be liberated into your presence. We pray that it would be tonight. Heavenly Father, we put our trust in you. And we do pray, as Luke challenged us, that we would be found worthy in Christ Jesus to escape all these things that are coming to stand before the Son of Man. And Lord, I pray tonight that if there's someone here that does not yet know you, that in this time of worship, they would simply say, as we sing, that they might sing to you, oh Jesus, forgive me. Oh Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and rose again from the grave for me. Almighty God, in my place, my sacrifice, my Redeemer, be my resurrected Lord in my life and save me from my sins. As we sing tonight this song of worship, my friend, if that's you tonight, give those words to Jesus and come and join the family of God in a moment's time as you cry out to him.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Government God's Way, Part 2. Thanks for listening. And as Pastor Jack reminds us that when we pray and accept Christ as our Savior, we'll escape God's tribulation period on earth. Government God's Way, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. If you haven't had a chance to watch Pastor Jack's Facebook Live event called Happening Now, there's a new one happening on March 13th at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Now, the Happening Now Facebook series brings God's prophetic word into perspective for us in light of events that are currently happening in our world. Pastor Jack's going to be joined by one of my favorites, Don Stewart, a brilliant scholar with multiple degrees who has written several books on biblical prophecy and what's going to happen in the last days. There's also going to be a Q&A time if you want to join us for that, and you don't even have to be a member on Facebook to watch this special live event. Again, it's called Happening Now, and it's live on Facebook tonight at 7 Pacific Time. And if you missed any previous sessions, by the way, the latest ones are available at our website. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.